Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. I'm Phil Carroll, and today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. Welcome back, Colin.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you. Hello.
We note the recent kind of bulletin board speculation regarding the actual quality of the resources at Racecourse, and obviously the subsequent drop in share price, despite what was a Racecourse prospect updated mineral resource estimate released earlier in the week or last week. And that was completed by independent consultants, Measured Group. Do you have any comments, Colin, on this?
Exactly what you just said. This was performed by professionals, by registered industry professionals, according to industry standards, with the top of the range software. They do this for a living, not company generated. Obviously, the company has tried to keep a running total on what's going on and tried to model the ore body as one goes along. But quite frankly, at the end of the day, there's only one way, and that's the proper way, you know, with your variograms, your kriging, and using various cutoffs to arrive at various tons and grades. So that was done totally independently. The metallurgy has been done totally independently. Obviously, the geophysics is done totally independently. And the thing, you know, the resource model, if you like, has now gone off to the modelers, who really gave us an indication of what it might look like for certain tonnages. Oh, I don't know. Was it a year ago, year and a half ago?
Yeah,
and so now they will be modeling against real results, real cutoffs, real values, and we await their decision. We probably are going to include the Ascot as well, and so I'm now waiting for the Ascot tons and grade. And as everyone knows who's followed the company closely, that between Ascot and Racecourse is continuing mineralization. So the question now is, can that be bought in or not? So you know, I'm not going to basically have a podcast knock at a bulletin board's or bulletin board's comments, because I don't really see how I am awaiting results by the appropriate experts using the appropriate equipment, and yet someone knows more than I know, and the board knows, and our board down, and our company executives down in Australia. So gentlemen, I'm awaiting the results of the expert work.
Sure.
And I'm very confident that this is a very large project. Nothing's changed. I'm very confident that if it's all drilled, there'll be over 2 million tonnes there. I'm very pleased the fact that we've encircled 1.1 million tonnes of copper to a depth of 600 metres. And I certainly don't want to get into a bulletin board discussion on work which is being done properly, professionally, by some of the world's best experts.
It's quite a bold statement in there that says that it became apparent that Racecourse as it stands is not an economic proposition. I mean, that's quite a statement to make, isn't it, as a non-industry expert?
I'm not able to make it. Yeah. I don't know one way or the other. I put it to independent experts. You know, I mean, it doesn't just end up with a resource. I know there's a mine in there's a mine working flat out near Kiruna in Sweden, which is working lower grade than that, and managed to do about $250 million project profit last year. But, you know, it's paid its capital off, and everything in this business is unique. So quite frankly, Phil, you know, you're dealing with big money. The capex will be huge. What's the copper price? Obviously, that's one of the biggest influences. 7, 8, 9, 10,000. I don't know. So we're going to arrive at an NPV for various cutoff grades. We're going to arrive at a various NPV for various copper prices. The capex we'll look at. And of course, we've got that opportunity with the 8 or 9 years of higher grade material, which will obviously, it played properly and planned properly and built into the model properly, will affect the final numbers. So I really think it'd be cheap of me to get involved in a podcast debate, because I don't know if it works or not. Until such time as the independent modelers say this will work, this is marginal, this won't work, it'd be good if the grade was higher, maybe we should be doing 30 million tonnes a year for the first 8 years. I just don't know, gents. And I don't know. Speculation is cheap. Speculation is easy. And quite frankly, the real job, I was going to say rocket science. It's not rocket science, but is best left to the professionals who's got the appropriate software, the appropriate experience, are independent from Colin Bird and the board, are independent from Jeremy Reed and his local board, and that they're doing the job as it should be done independently, because at the end of the day, our shareholders need to know what they've got. But I tell you what, I'm just going to go back to the point that when we started off with 71 million tonnes at 0.44, that now we've got 1.1 million tonnes of copper, whichever way you look at it. So I think it's best left at that, because I can say it 1,000 times from different directions, but it's in the hands of the experts, been done properly, been done independently, and the board await the result of the conceptual modelling to decide which is the best direction to go forward. So that's the best I can offer. And that's the most sincere way I can respond to your questions.
You were in Australia where this asset actually sits, and you published the fact that you'd sold out all your shares, and then you published this document. What would happen?
I'd be expecting a knock at the door. Quite frankly, I'd be expecting a knock at the door. It's not the sort of thing you do, is it? To say sell all your shares and then trash the company. So, like I say, I don't want to cheapen myself to end up in that arena and start trading blows. But it's strange you asked me that question, because our colleagues in Australia came up with exactly the same thing. That they've never quite seen anything like that before. But anyway, that's as cheap as speculation as well. So I don't get into that sort of thing, Kevin. I've tried to be above it throughout my career. I work for the shareholders. I try and do my best for them. We've fired $32,000 into the ground. We've got a result. We're having it independently modelled by all stages, metallurgical, mining, processing, environmental, the pure economics of shifting ground, tailings. And so from that point of view, for me to second guess isn't possible. So I'm very impressed with that guy. If he can, the person who wants to make the comments, I'm very impressed if he's able to do it remotely, without the data bank, without access to the independents, without access to the experts. I'm quite amazed and well done him. But you know what my slogan is, upwards and onwards, and that's the way it remains. And I'm waiting for the Ascot resource, and I'm waiting to plug that into the model. If it plugs into the model, I don't even know that yet. So you're talking now to someone who's totally open-minded as to what the outcome might be, but is unable to prejudge it. I cannot prejudge it, Kevin.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Phil. Thank you very much indeed. Upwards and onwards.
All the best, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.